Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis. This is a truck out called Thoughts Out of Firm Congregation. That's out of the trail tower. Today is September the 18th, 2025, or the 27th day of Elul, 2029. We're going to do one time of greeting number 51. Is religion something living and growing, or is it something dead and waning? So we're reading on that serious healthy passage, page 18. For that serious healthy remove that which obscures the truth. His words place the teaching of the nature as well as of the scripture in a new aspect and make them a new revelation. He gave the lesson and said the leaders of the field how they grow in the simplicity of the natural beauty. They taught not how do they expand. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Then followed the sweet assurance and the important lesson. Wherefore, if Yahweh so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall it not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And the Sermon on the Mount, these words were spoken to the multitude, among whom were men and women full of the worries and perplexities and sore with disappointment and sorrow. That shall continue. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. We are now afraid that you are sure glory servant. Let's do it again. For we are now to pray that as the Yahshua's servants, we do all, let's do that again, let's read that again. For we are now to pray that we, as the Yahshua's servants, do all that we can for the removing of that which obscure the truth of today, that we find light through the nature and the scripture, that we realize that the Yahshua cares for us more than he cares for the lilies, that we learn to trust in him and to do his bidding and be no longer like the Gentiles who worry about the things of this world. That we know he will see that we have all our needs if our chief business is to advance his kingdom. In the present, let us now go into the title of our sermon. Is religion something living and growing, or is it something dead and waning? July 26, 1947. Is religion something that grows and expands, or is it something that stands still? Just the other day we heard on the radio a church minister boast that his denomination has not added or discarded doctrine ever since it was organized. Is this something to brag about, or is this something to bemoan? This is a question to which we now wish to find the answer. If the world does not stand still, if it makes the progress to death, then why should the church stand still? Why should the church not know more of the Yahweh and more of the scripture today than she did yesterday? Why should Christianity be proud of not adding scripture doctrines? What a world this would be if everything was not moving ahead as it is. If we were to compare the world's increased knowledge and accomplishment in the last 50 or 100 years to the church's increased knowledge and accomplishment in the same period of time, we may see that there is no comparison whatsoever. Look at the progress that the world has made and look at the stupidity that the church is cultivating. Yes, I said cultivating because it seems that rather than bemoaning the fact of not having added or destroyed the doctrine, and rather than encouraging the people to be on the watch for the Yahweh's visitation, for the Yahshua's visitation, let's do that again. And rather than encouraging the people to be on the watch for the Yahshua's coming, they are making it their business to keep the laity from coming into the contact with the Yahshua's messengers and his progressive truth with the meat in due season, with the Yahshua's Son of the Yahweh message for today. Anything that does not originate in their own convention, the laity are told to have nothing to do with it. Thus, they do simply because they themselves do not accept the truth that the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, sent. And because if any of their congregation came into contact with and accepted it, then naturally they'll have to join truth wherever truth is. So it is of their chief business to keep the laity in the darkness and in the fear that someone is to deceive them if they expose themselves to anything that the ministers do not approve. Such a course may hold back progress for years, but it can never succeed. Now, not anymore than did the opponents of Galileo make the earth flat by compelling him to recant his position that the earth is round. And no more than Rome succeeded against the Protestant Reformation or the priests and rabbis against Christianity. Let's read that again. Or the priests and rabbis against the apostolic movement of the 12 apostles of Yahshua set up at the cross after his resurrection. For it is therefore a high time for the realizing that a people who must be held in the ignorance of something in the order to be kept loyal unto the church are certainly not worth having, and that is the only way for the having of them a really loyal and firmly established interfered and saved in a genome. First to face the truth and then give them freedom to choose so that they themselves might personally know what is the truth and what is the error. For the keeping them in the darkness of what the deceivers see, if they be deceivers, is to keep them ignorant of what is in the error, for it is to forever close heaven's communication line, and for the making of the people spiritual invalids and octonation, for the people must for themselves know what the truth is, and for themselves must decide what to do with the truth, if they are ever to be granted admission to the kingdom. For those who must be penitent or led with a rope are living with a cut, as it were, into the kingdom, and those who build the fence the rope or hold the steps will find the door closed and will hear the Master say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Ministers are not called to be test masters, nor conscience for others. They are called to be teachers of the truth. If the church is not making progress with the truth, the share is not periodically adding unquestionable questions from knowledge to knowledge, and I am sure she has nothing to boast about. She is an active to communication line with the heaven broken, is Yahweh's, as Yahshua, son of Yahweh's forsaken dead, where she can never serve her members with the meat and the season from the throne of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh. That as for example, take religion as it is in the scriptures today. For it did not come all at once, but it took something like 4,000 years to accumulate, and about 2,000 more years to comprehend as much as the church has comprehended by now. If we should compare Abel's knowledge of religion with the Christian knowledge of it, we should no doubt discover that there is no comparison, that Abel knew comparatively only the very first principle of the apostolic faith. If religion, therefore, is not something living, growing, and progressing, then what is it? Abel's religion of 6,000 years also has advanced, suspended for the meeting of the people's necessities of today. This was done only by the inspiration adding to it, and itself unfolding it. If the church is not commensurately growing and expanding, and how can she be a living church, and how can she keep up with the signs of the time and with the progress in the sanctuary above? Let us read Ephesians 4:11-14. And it gives some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahshua, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. And I might add, and also Hebrews 12:18-24, the better strength of the Yahshua, and of the knowledge of the Son of the Yahshua, and of the knowledge, let's do it again, and of the knowledge of the Son of the Yahweh, the Father, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the promise of the Yahshua, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they may they lie in wait to deceive. For the inspiration is the same that the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh's plan, is that the church should ever be growing, both in the knowledge and profession, that we all come into the unity of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, and of Hebrews 12:18-24, and of the knowledge of the Son of the Yahweh, Yahshua, in the name of the Son of Yahweh, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sight of men, and turning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Since the church has not yet attained unto the standard set forth in this verse of the Scripture, it is obvious that she needs to have greater knowledge of the Scripture, religion, than she had at the present time, being far from having reached such unity of the faith, of the knowledge and profession. We see the need as clear as the crystal, for we as the antithetical apostolic believers need to start growing, otherwise the season of such growth will pass and we shall be left but dwarfed, not having advanced far enough to be eligible for our home and the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Daniel 2:44-45. Then shall it come to pass that all such unmatured believers shall bitterly cry out, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. The scripture knowledge, you see, is heaven's way for salvation and eternity, but the modern ministry way is to keep men ignorant of what is taught outside of their own circle, so they may have men under their control. For that truth is growing, and that we should keep pace with it, we shall now read Revelation 14:6-10. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting counsel for the preaching unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice to the Lord, the sure Son of Yahweh, and give glory unto him for the hour of his judgment to his God, and worship him that and worship him, Yahweh the Father, that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. And there followed another angel saying, heaven is fallen, has fallen that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, any man worship the beast in his name and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of the sure Son of Yahweh, which is poured out without the mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. Here are represented three messages, one following the other. Unless we keep pace with each of them progressively, we shall find ourselves trailing behind the time. As are the Jews unto this day, those who fail for keeping pace with the truth as the inspiration unfolds, it can never come into the unity of the faith of the brotherhood of Yahshua and to a full knowledge of the Son of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, and to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Yahshua, such will forever be children tossed to and fro and scattered about with every wind of the doctrine by the slight of men, Ephesians 4:13-14. Many then religion itself is something living and unholy. But the tragedy is that not all are keeping pace with it. Let us look into this vital subject even more concretely, for the truth you know have kept unfolding and going even after the Moses' death. For the Jews though killed the prophet and did not advance any further. And when Moses left them, in fact they ever retrograde. And so they are where they are today because they fail to change their course, even though prophet after prophet was sent unto them from the pit and through which they were fast falling. Even the Yahshua himself failed to awaken them to the dreadfulness of this situation. Only a comparatively few saw the red light, the danger, and returned unto the Yahshua. For this halting and backsliding never did stop. It has continued on and on until this very day. Even the early apostolic congregation itself eventually went to sleep and brought on the dark edges of the religion. Moreover, though inspiration placed the bright light of the truth in the hand of the Reformation during the darkest hour of that day, yet the church as a whole failed to see the light, failed to see the need of the Reformation, rather than coming to the light. Seventh-day Adventist Church did all she could to put it out for the elect, 144,000. Nevertheless, walked out of the darkness and into the light. They will, and have already. Thus it was and is another sect. The Lutheran denomination was organized. That this was only the beginning of the Reformation, and now that we are called Latter-day Saints and the Southern Apostolic Movement, we are called to revive the Reformation of the Lutheran Reformation. And we're going to learn something new about this. I just learned here a few weeks ago that my father changed the journey with a Lutheran. I never did know that. His father was a Lutheran. His father was a self-proclaimed prophet, and rightfully so. And I just learned that the people that were sent down here now, where we're at today, this is a Lutheran community. All these towns around here, everywhere I turn, I meet Lutherans, I have conversations with them, and I'm starting up an interest talking to them about who they are, and that I'm also, by inheritance, as a Lutheran. But I was born in the Adventist Church. My mother was an Adventist, and so she raised me up as an Adventist. But my father was a Lutheran. And so I'm a Lutheran. And I'm a truly bloodline descendant of Martin Luther. And I want to tell the people in Africa, Jeff White, you are a bloodline descendant of Ham, the second son of Noah. Africa is the land of Ham. So my wife and I, in our church, the 12th Apostolic Church, is a descendant of Shem, the oldest son of Noah. His second son was Ham. So Ham cursed his father, and Ham got a curse put on him and his nation after that. But that didn't separate us from being bloodline brethren. So all the people in Africa are kinsmen. They are our blood. They are our bloodline. And so all those that converse to this truth of the gospel today from Africa, they are called Israelites indeed, and true blood kinsmen, and of the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:29. I don't need to say any more at this time. There's a lot more to say on that. So welcome aboard, Africa. You're receiving this light that was given to us here in Texas many years ago. I was born here in Texas, and you've been having this light given to you now for going on 30 years, so rejoice in it. It's going to get even greater. I have greater things for you and David Center there in Africa. Keep up the good work. As one truth after another began to unfold and is, of course, the inception of a new denomination, because each of the older daughters, six following in the footsteps of another, herself refused to keep pace with the message. Indeed, the Lutheran denomination itself, like all others before or after, was satisfied to remain where Luther left it. And so of necessity, another, the Presbyterian denomination, came and prevailed. Thus, down the stream of time, one denomination after another, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, John Wesley England, Baptist, John Wesley of England, Methodist, And John Alexander Campbell was a Baptist. Thus down the string of time, one denomination after another has done likewise. This is how it has been all through the century. This is why not one of the churches has come any higher than the founders left them. And this is why Christians, rather than growing into the unity of the faith and the blood of the everlasting God of Yahshua, are with each passing day becoming more and more disunited in the faith and hostile unto each other's faith. To boast, therefore, that one's denomination has never added a doctrine or laid off one is to admit that his church is at a standstill. Versus saying, we are rich and increased with the goods and have need of nothing, when in fact they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But no, it's not. And that's the truth with the subject in the church right now. Very obviously, religion is something that grows and unfolds. Really, its people, as an organization, have never kept pace with their religion. For the most astonishing part, as it is, let's say it again, for the most astonishing part of their religion is that those who have led the denomination after the death of their founders, rather than take the liberty to watch and wait for more revealed truth, instead are teaching that this church has all the truth and that there is need of no more. Here we see that the church militant, which is the subject in the church today, that has gone back and joined grandmother, the Catholic Church, is in reality the church which is militant against the advancing church, and that the seventh, the church triumphant. Let's read that again. Here we see that the church militant, the seventh day in the church, is in the reality the church which is militant against the advancing church of the shepherd God of the Transcendental Seventh Day Adventist. Vic Hall of Founded in 1930, and that the Seventh Day Adventist Church triumphant. And that the church triumphant, the true church triumphant, is the church that marches on with the progress of the truth. Let's read all that again now, the whole thing. Now let's strike this, but I just read it all out. Here we see that the church militant, the Seventh Day Adventist Church, is in the reality as a church that is militant against all advancing church that is put forth by the Davidian Seventh Day Adventist, what they call the Shepherd God, founded by the Vision Hall of 1929. And that the church triumphant is actually the true church which marches on with the progress of the truth, and I might add with the progress of the present truth, for this fact was seen at the very first step toward the progress in religion, both Cain and Abel were endeavoring to walk in the highway of the progress by each offering a sacrifice able worship according unto the wisdom of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, whereas Cain worshiped according unto the wisdom of man, for the Cain's sacrifice is merely the counterfeit of Abel's. Here we see that where truth is, there is also a counterfeit, for there are denominations that are established on the truth. There are also counterfeits, and that is what accounts for the great multiplicity of the denominations and sects. For the Cain slain Abel were doing what the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, would have him do, is a type of the false worship of the opposition and of the persecution. Thus, as has it been in the past and still is, for those who are in the error are ever found hostile against the truth and persecuting those who practice this truth. Now, suppose that the Abel had lived until our day and had followed the progress of the truth to each generation. What would have been his experience in religion? He would necessarily have joined with the Index movement, with the Noah, with the Abraham, with the Jacob, with the Moses, with all the prophets, with John the Baptist, with the apostles, and with the Lutherans, with the Presbyterians, with the Methodists, with the First Day Adventists, the Millerite movement, with the Seventh Day Adventist L.S.D. Weiss movement, 1844, the First Day Adventist movement, the Millerites, were 1833. And at last, he would have joined the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist in order for him to keep up with the advancing church. And Abel would have had to leave one movement and join another at each new unfoldment of the church. Otherwise, he would have remained as ignorant in the progress of the religion has had the Jews. We now see as plainly as the church of naked that throughout the ages the church triumphant was and still is made up of the church's members who unceasingly kept climbing the ladder of the truth all along until this day. Ezekiel 36:23-24. And I will sanctify my great name, which profane among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, said Yahshua, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen, and get you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Here the truth is again reiterated. Those who are determined to stay down on the first ring of the ladder of the truth will be left there to stay forever. But those who keep faith with the truth shall be brought into their own land, no longer having to sit in the pew with the lid of sin, and no longer having to tread the land of the Gentiles. This is Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, but I cleanse you. Now this thorough and calm cleansing, you see, is obtained only after the church triumphant, which is the church of the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the everlasting kingdom of heaven that Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of David in, moved into the promised land. Well, the promised land for those of the judgment of the living is Texas. The promised land for the land of Israel is for those that live in the old Texas that are resurrected. They're going to be resurrected, and that lived in that country, part of the country, and they're going to be taken to their own land where they was originally from. Same thing in Texas. And those in Africa, those that are of the Ham as their father, the second son of Noah. The continent of Africa is their land. Okay, this third and final thing in this is obtained only after the first time moves into the promised land. Those who fail for the keeping the faith with the truth, and who choose to stay with their idols, will be unable to carry out their personal desires anyway, for they shall go into the holes of the rock, into the trees of the earth, for the fear of the Yahshua and for the glory of the majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Isaiah 2:19. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. For this cleansing takes place, then it is that a new heart and a new spirit will be given unto all who are now striving to grow in the knowledge of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, and who are then found in the kingdom. After this heart operation takes place, to do the will of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, will be but a natural thing. There will no longer be a struggle against the carnal heart. Ezekiel 36:27-29. And I put my spirit within you and told you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your father, and you shall be my people, and I will be your king, your savior, emancipator, and redeemer. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall the mark will stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of the trouble, since it never was, since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Lo, the world is already headed for the time of trouble, and when it is reached, refuge will be found only in an up-to-date truth. Truth that puts one's name in the Marvel Book of Heaven. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made bright and tight, but the wicked shall be wicked, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Who are the wise? They must be those who are ever searching for the golden oil, those who have their vessels full Matthew 25:1-13. Those who are led into the door are those who have obtained and followed an up-to-date map of the truth. Religion, brother, sister, is not something dead and running. It is something living and growing, and the Yeshua's people will grow with it. And now, in the closing, I wish to leave a question for you to ponder and to answer for yourself. Is this experience the experience of the progression with the truth as your experience? If it is not, then why not? Yes, why? Question mark. Is it not worth everything? Money, houses, land, friends, mothers, fathers, husbands, or wives? Is it not worth all these in order to double them? Isaiah 61:6-7, Mark 10:28-31. This brings the rest of this hour contact in the 11th hour call, number 11.